Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. In most churches all over the world, every Sunday they read a very common confession or creed called the Apostles' Creed. This church, I think, is no exception. Children, you know the words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We know that creed, don't we? We hear those words probably every Sunday evening. But sometimes when we do things in church every single Sunday, when we read the same form every single Sunday, it becomes common, doesn't it? It becomes something you just hear, something you really don't give a lot of attention to, you don't think about for a while. Even this morning, we were reading the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. How many of us listened to every single word and processed it in our minds exactly what was being said by God? These are the words of God. But sometimes we quickly rush over these things, don't we? Even form prayers can be that way. Well, in the Apostles' Creed, we have the words, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. And I want to focus just on that last phrase with you this morning. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to say that? We say it together every time you hear this read in church. We're saying it in our hearts as the minister says the words. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. What does that mean? Often we can quickly repeat it without even thinking of its full meaning and its full value, really, the full content, a rich content, really. The text I want to focus on this morning is from the passage we read together, 1 John. You can go there with me if you want. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 only. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The title of our theme this morning, is the forgiveness of sins. We have 4 points to consider, and they're easy to remember. Just 4 simple words. First, confession. What is confession? Second, forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Third, cleansing. What does it mean, cleansing? And fourth, fellowship. Confession, forgiveness, cleansing, and fellowship. These words. The book of John, 1 John, written by the Apostle John, the Beloved, almost certainly the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, the one who was with Jesus for so long, the one who leaned on his breast or who was very close to him in fellowship with him. We see in many places in the Gospel. John, the first epistle he writes to the churches, and given to us as well as a church of God, now 2,000 years later. He writes this letter to all churches in general during his time, but then, of course, during our time as well. Why does he write it? If you were to study this book, maybe you do that yourselves anyway in the morning or in the evening for your personal devotions, you do a book study. And you take one book and you say, the next couple days I'm going to focus on this book. And you read a little bit on a commentary about the history of the book and when it was written, who wrote it, and you study the word. How would you understand this book? What is the central theme, or why did he write it? Well, if you read it from the first chapter to the last chapter, the fifth chapter, he wrote this book to talk about assurance of salvation. How can we know if we are a believer? How can we know? Or even put differently, a test of the authenticity of our faith. Is our faith real? Is it true faith? True saving faith? Not historical faith, not temporary. Is it real faith? John wrote this book to believers, or at least to those who call themselves believers, and said, test your faith. Are you real? Are you true? Now, in this book, you'll find many things. If you were to read, in fact, you probably could do it this afternoon. Read the 5 chapters of this book, not that long. And you'll find certain themes. Fellowship with God, that's how it starts. One of the central themes. Do we, by faith in Christ, have fellowship with God? True fellowship. And there are other themes, too. You often have truth and lie. He often compares two simple words, the truth compared to the lie. Or walking in the light as opposed to walking in the darkness. Or sinfulness as opposed to righteousness. John often does that. He takes a simple word and he compares it to another simple word. Light, darkness. And he's teaching these simple truths in this book. Well, in this chapter, it starts talking about fellowship, but the focus, our focus this morning is on verse 9. Also, very simple words. I think many of the children will even understand these words. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin. Very simple words, but I think as we study these now together, we'll find that the truth here is deep and rich and free. The gospel is free. If we confess our sins, what does that mean? To confess our sins. Or maybe we should even back up even further. These are simple truths. That word sin. What is it? What does sin mean? What is sin? If I were teaching, I would ask someone to answer that question. What is sin? What is sin to the children? What does it mean to sin? We know it, don't we? Right from when we're young. We might not know exactly that word, but the parent says, don't do that. That's wrong. That's sin. It's evil. Sin is something that's wrong, but it's more than that, isn't it? Because sin is not just me wronging someone else. Like, for instance, if one of the brothers were to hit the sister, that'd be wrong, and that's sin. But sin is such more than that, really. Sin is especially a wrong against God. So sin is doing something wrong against God, disobeying God's law, being guilty, not in the presence of your parents. Your mother sees you do something wrong and she says, you're sinful. No, it's being guilty in God's sight. God sees you do something wrong and then you're sinful. Sin is a wrong against God. It's lawlessness. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. I could say that simpler, I think. Sin is breaking God's law. And so this verse starts with that concept. If we confess our sin, if we confess that we are breaking God's law, sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion. Breaking God's law is rebelling against God. If your father says, don't go in the front yard near the road. He says that maybe to the young child, right? Don't go near the road. It's dangerous. But if a child goes close to the road, often it's not a mistake. Sometimes maybe the child wanders without thinking. But sometimes the child is what? Testing the father, right? Rebellion. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion against the lawgiver. God, the lawgiver, the righteous one, the ruler, the rightful ruler, it's rebellion against him. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion. Sin is missing the mark, not living the way we ought to. These are ways we think about sin. So as we read this verse, we first have to understand sin. What is sin? But it's deeper than that. Sin is uncleanness. It's the pollutedness, the dirtiness of sins that we have committed in the past. It's not just I sin today, but it's all those sins that are back there in my life. Whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 50, that's sin. And sometimes that plagues us, doesn't it? Those who are older, I'm told, 60, 70, you think back on sins you committed in your youth. And you, they're there, aren't they? You haven't forgotten them. They're still polluting you if they're not been forgiven. Sin is uncleanness, and sin is guilt. Unrighteousness in relation to God as judge. When the child, even the two-year-old, when the two-year-old does something that the mother says not to do, the face is different, isn't it? Even the two-year-old knows what guilt is all about when they've done wrong. And we, of course, especially as adults, we know what sin is. We know the guilt that it gives us, makes us feel. So sin is all these things. But let's not just talk in general terms here. John uses very specific, simple words, but he's very personal as well. If we confess our sins, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Now, we all have to talk to ourselves here, right? We're not here to point fingers at others. Am I a sinner? Are you a sinner? Verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Are you a sinner? When it's put in this light, how can we deny it? If you say you're not a sinner, you're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. You know, often when two kids are fighting, I'm using examples of kids because it's so simple, we see it happening. When two children or maybe two teenagers are fighting, and there's a big argument and disagreement, and the teacher comes and has to sort out the situation, and the one says, I didn't do anything wrong, he hit me. Or it's his fault. It's all his fault. I was innocent. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, it could be we're more innocent in one situation than in another. But I think this applies to all of us, doesn't it? When we read the Ten Commandments, sometimes I'm trying to focus on these Ten Commandments, and you read 1, 2, 3, and you say, well, check, got that one right this week. Right? I don't think I broke the first commandment. And yet, we probably did. In fact, I'm sure I did. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Did I put anything above God? Did my fears of the future cause me to not trust God like I should? And when we start to study these simple concepts, we realize there's a lot more here than just a simple concept. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. We are lying to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So are you a sinner? Sins against other people, hatred, manipulation, cheating. These things in society are easy, right? All people say it's wrong to manipulate. It's wrong to cheat. We'll call those surface sins, but let's get deeper. Sins against God, against God's law. Sins of omission, failing to live like we ought to. Worldliness. Allowing ourselves to get into the habits and the patterns of the world. Sloppy Christian living, not living according to God's law, not living with a desire to please God in everything, but rather giving way to worldly pleasures, sins of omission, or commission even. Respectable sins. There's a book with that title, I think, isn't it? Jerry Bridges, I believe. Respectable sins. Pride. Greed. Now, as I'm reading these sins, I'm doing this intentionally. Not just so we have a catalog and we can know in our minds what sin... No, so that as we go through this list, as we study this subject, you yourselves in your minds can identify which sin you are guilty of. And you're saying, he's being direct this morning. If we say we have no sin, if I say I have no sin, I am deceiving myself, and the truth is not in me. Respectable sins, pride... Greed. Wanting what we don't deserve. Jealousy. Wishing we had what other people had. Or being upset because they get the blessing that we want. Discontent. Not satisfied with what God has given us in life. Discontent. Selfishness. These are often respectable sins. Selfishness. No, we need self-esteem to consider ourselves with enough dignity so that we'll operate and not be discouraged. Selfishness puts ourselves before others. Many sins. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So this morning, as we start to understand this verse, we first have to recognize what sin is, the definition. But even more than that, where our sins are. What is our sin? Our sinfulness. In fact, I think that's key to understanding sin. Sin isn't so much the actions that we do. Yes, it's that. But sin is the nature that produces those actions. I sinned because I am sinful. I'll say that again. Sin isn't so much what we do, our actions. It's what makes that action come to the surface. Our motivation, our intentions, our thoughts, our desires. It's the nature. It's who we are that causes us to sin. We must acknowledge our sin. Confess it even. But we must also confess our sinful nature. Each one of us are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, the Bible says. Born as sinners, from birth, guilty. But now John says, he assumes we are sinful. He assumes even as we're reading this, we understand what our particular sin is and the sinful nature below it. That's an assumption he makes. He assumes that for the people he's speaking to, even believers. And he says, if we confess our sins, knowing those sins, knowing that sinfulness, John says, if we confess it, we must confess this sin. What does that mean? What does it mean to confess? I touched it earlier. To acknowledge. To say, I have sinned. I confess that I am a sinner. I am guilty of this sin. I have polluted myself with this sin. My mind goes to two children again, and the one hits the other, and the mother says, you must confess to your brother now for hitting him. And the brother walks over there, I'm sorry. With a smile on his face, maybe. And then he does it again. What is confession? Is that really confession? Well, it's using the words, isn't it? But this word can be used, it can be misused, I think, to confess our sins. It's not just saying words, I'm sorry, but also hating the deed that is done. That's what the mother is looking for when she says to the boy, confess. Go confess your sin. It's not saying only, but there must be a desire, there must be emotion involved. Not necessarily crying, but certainly hating, disgusted with sin, not knowing our sinfulness, but turning away from it. And that's what we're looking for when we look for confession in other people. We want them to stop sinning, to turn away from sin. That's what we're looking for. Confession is turning away from sin. Not covering it, but admitting it. And here I think it's helpful to stop. To confess our sins is not to cover the sin and the effects of the sin, but rather to uncover, to open up. And this is the hardest part because it makes us vulnerable. If we confess our sins, we are vulnerable, aren't we? If a man confesses to his wife that he has been cheating, it's easy to say the words, but all the consequences that come from that confession make him vulnerable. They open a whole can of worms, doesn't it? There's a saying that says, time heals all wounds, and there's truth in that. But a wound that is deep, that is festering, that has an infection in it, if the skin covers over that wound and the wound is still there. Maybe there's even a splinter of wood or something else sharp, a splinter of metal inside the skin. You may cover over that sin, that wound, but there's something still festering below, isn't it? And the same with sin. Sins must be confessed. They must be opened up and uncovered. Unconfessed sin continues to fester. Now think of your own life. Think of whatever sin that came to mind earlier as we're defining this word. I don't know you standing here, most of you. But God does. God knows your heart. And you know your heart too. And you know the sins that you're struggling with, that you have struggled with in the past. Maybe you've covered them over. Maybe they're forgotten or semi-forgotten. Unconfessed sin continues to fester. And so John is actually teaching us something here that's important. He says we must confess that sin. We must admit it. It must be uncovered. It must be uncovered. But you see, uncovering sin is the hardest part, isn't it? Because when we open ourselves up, we make ourselves vulnerable. Think of someone who's convicted of a crime. Let's say someone has been was stealing and he stole something from a neighbor, and the police were on it, chasing him, and they got him, and they bring a charge against him that he has stolen. But he is, you know, through evidence, he's kind of tried to cover his tracks, and he stands before the judge. Now the police are saying, you stole, and there's a case against him. He stands before the judge. What does he do? He doesn't want to open up and uncover, because then he knows the crime will be revealed, and the case will be tried, and he'll be found guilty, and the punishment will be given. He tries to cover himself. And maybe some evidence is known, and so he confesses part of it, but the other part that's still hidden, he doesn't open up. Why? Because he's afraid of the consequences of confessing. But confessing sin to God is entirely different. God wants us to confess all wrongdoing. Every detail of our sinfulness. Even the sinfulness that we are ashamed to tell our closest friends. God wants us to open up and uncover. And that's hard because that makes us vulnerable. In fact, I would go farther. That requires faith. True confession of sin requires faith in who? Faith in God. You see, if we see God as this austere judge, this judge who's going to punish us, who's going to beat us if we do wrong, and the more we confess, the more he beats us, we don't really know who God is, and we don't trust him, do we? But if we see God who is the judge who punished his own son for sin, and who encourages us to confess our sins, so that he can forgive us that sin. We're going to talk about that just now in this verse. If we see God as the righteous judge who forgives sin, it makes us more willing to confess, doesn't it? You see, true confession of sin requires faith in God. If we don't trust God, we're going to hide everything from him. But if we trust him, we open our entire hearts to him and say, God, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest even those wicked thoughts that I hide from others. Thou knowest those sinful actions that I don't even dare tell my closest friend. God knows everything. And we open our hearts to him when we trust him by faith. Because he is a judge, yes, but he's also a righteous father who forgives sins. And when we know God by faith, then we trust him. And when we trust him, the Spirit gives us the courage. No, he even works it in us. He gives us the grace to open our hearts to God and confess everything. So John says, if we confess our sins, he, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What does the second part of this verse mean? We spoke about sin and confession of sin, and it has greater meaning once we start to look at what forgiveness means. That's the second point, forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Now, the dictionary defines this word as allowing room for weakness. I forgive you. I know you're weak like me. Or I know we're not perfect. So we just kind of allow these things. Forgiveness. We forgive other people that way. We forgive the coworker because we also have made mistakes ourselves. That's not the kind of forgiveness that John is speaking of here. The idea of forgiveness here is to cancel the debt, to take away the guilt, to leave behind the consequences even of this debt. And so I want to just touch on a few things. As we think about forgiveness and the meaning of forgiveness, let's think about a few details, a few facts of forgiveness from this verse and elsewhere in Scripture. Consider this first. Forgiveness happens after confession. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Forgiveness happens after confession. It doesn't happen as a result of confession. No, that's it's a result of God's character. But it happens after confession. If there is that wound that isn't healing because there's still something festering on the inside, it must be confessed. It must be brought to the surface. It must be the festering must be dug out. The wound has to be cleaned. Confession. And then there is forgiveness. Forgiveness happens after confession. And forgiveness is the result of God's character. Look at what it says here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God is faithful and just. Because God is faithful and just, He forgives. This is God's character. He is faithful. That implies a promise, doesn't it? God is faithful to His promise. His promise to forgive. If we confess our sins, He has promised to take away that uncleanness, to take away that unrighteousness, to take away that lawlessness. He has promised, I will remove their iniquity. I will wash them clean. God is faithful to His promise, and knowing the faithfulness of God encourages us to confess. God is faithful and God is just. He is the righteous judge, the one in whose presence sin cannot stand, but also the one who sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to pay for sin. God is both faithful and just to forgive sin. And again, I bring you back to this truth that John is teaching us. Why do we confess our sins? Because we know that God is faithful and just. If God wasn't faithful and just, and if God just punished sin, we would be scared to confess, wouldn't we? The son who is afraid of his father will never come and confess. But the son whose father loves him and who has shown in the past that he will forgive him, even though there are consequences, is more open to confess, isn't he? And the same is true with God. God is faithful and just to forgive sin. To forgive sin, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the taking away of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then again, verse 2 of the next chapter, 2 verse 2. Christ is the propitiation. That means the sin offering or sin covering for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The blood of Jesus Christ takes away sin. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who was sacrificed for sin, takes this sin away. And therefore, forgiveness isn't just covering over or forgetting sin. It's taking away sin, leaving behind sin, canceling the debt, even removing the guilt of sin. Jesus Christ's blood takes away sin, and Jesus Christ is the advocate with the Father. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ is the lawyer, the advocate. Not the one who condemns us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and brings us to Christ. But Christ is the lawyer who says, "This is my blood, it takes away sin." So forgiveness happens after confession as a result of God's character, faithfulness to His promise, His justice through Christ. Christ, God's promise, the one who takes away sin. Are you a sinner? We all are sinners, aren't we? Has Christ taken away that sin? That sin that we thought of earlier, the pollution, the lawlessness in our life, has Christ taken it away? Has His blood cleansed that sin? Has He canceled the debt? Has He taken away the guilt of that sin even? Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile." If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, forgiveness, that's another truth. Forgiveness is necessary for us all because we are all sinners. Each one of us needs this forgiveness. Unbelievers, believers, perhaps even especially for believers. We who have been forgiven and yet find ourselves still sinning, still polluted each day. We need this forgiveness. And so every Sunday evening in this church, we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins." Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins? Do you believe that that sin you committed 20 years ago that's still plaguing you, still causing you problems, still causing guilt in your life, do you believe that that can be forgiven? Do you believe the conflict between two brothers in this church, or a co-worker and a boss, or a family members, two family members from this church or other churches? Do you believe that that sin can be forgiven, that there can be reconciliation and fellowship? Do you believe that you can be made right with God? That's what we're saying when we make this confession. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Our catechism says it so beautifully. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? That God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins. It doesn't say their sins, it says my sins. Will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, not just my sins, but my sinfulness, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. When we believe this, our sins are taken away. Christ's righteousness, Christ the sinless one, Christ the perfect one who never broke law, who never rebelled against the Father, who never was polluted, His righteousness imputed, that means freely given to me, so that God the judge becomes God the Father in Christ Jesus. What have you done with your sin? Many of us, we go on from week to week. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. I confess my sinfulness. And we even say these words, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." But it's not personal. It's not personal. But it doesn't say anything else here, isn't it? It's just simple truth. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. It depends only on Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Have you confessed your sin? You see, the goodness of God, His faithfulness, His justice and mercy shown through Christ, almost as if they pull us, they cause us, they encourage us to confess our sins. That sin we were thinking of, have you confessed it? Have you said to God, "I'm sorry, you know, we never can confess our sins perfectly. In fact, we make terrible efforts, don't we? We're like children who say, "I'm sorry," and then we continue sinning. But God isn't even looking at that, because He's working this confession in our lives. And He's poking you right now. He's saying, that sin in your life, confess it. That thing you've been hiding, confess it. Just say you're sorry. He's like a parent saying, just say sorry. Now, that's not going to save us. Our confession doesn't save us. It's Christ's faithfulness that saves us. But it happens upon confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do you really believe God forgives? Then run to Him for mercy now. Run to Him for mercy. God is not a judge who just beats people, but God is the judge who has allowed His Son to suffer so that we can be forgiven. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we will look at that after we sing together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We've looked at confession of sin. We've looked at forgiveness of sin. Perhaps you're saying, even as we were singing together now, maybe in your heart you were thinking, yes, I'm a sinner. That I dare not say no to. Even the Bible here says I'm a sinner. And I know those sins. The guilt of them weighs on me at times. Maybe at times you have impressions of your sinfulness and you struggle with it. And you know you're a sinner. But will God forgive you? And you hear sermons even saying God is faithful, God is just, He forgives sins. And yet you say, is it for me still? Am I stealing this blessing? Is it really for me? What do I do with that sinfulness? What do I do with it? God is faithful and just. And His Spirit works this faith in our hearts. And He calls us to stir ourselves up to confession. If we confess our sins, but you say, my heart is so cold and dry at times, I don't even feel like confessing. I rather feel like covering that sin. I feel like just pretending it's not there and not telling others about it either. Stir yourselves up to lay hold of God, it says in the Word. Have you set aside time for confession? Have you seen the evil of your sinfulness? You know, parents sometimes will say to their children, go in the corner, sit there now, and think about what you've done. Why do they say that? It gives the child time to reflect on how that sin has not only broken a relationship with the parent, so that there's tension there, but there's sin committed, there's wrongdoings done, and it gives the child time to reflect on it. To stop defending it himself or herself, and to say, no, I did do wrong here. That kind of time is necessary in spiritual life, whether we're believers or unbelievers, especially unbelievers. Set aside time to study your life and say, no, I am sinful here and here and here. And no, Lord, I don't feel my sinfulness enough. Make me feel the evil of this, the lawlessness of it, the pollution that it creates in my life. And confess it. Confess it. Some of you maybe want to type it out. Some of you want to write it out. Some of you pray it out. Confess sin. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God is faithful. God is faithful. And even in this process of confessing, drawing near to God, stirring ourselves up, meditating, these are all words that the Puritans used often. Even in this process, maybe God will come to us and take away that guilt that we are struggling with. Faithful to forgive. And also faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, this verse comes in the two parts here. God is faithful to forgive, and God is faithful to cleanse. That cleansing, what does it mean? Cleansing from sin. John Calvin says there, twice the word cleansing is used in this passage. In verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. John Calvin said that's justification. Forgiving us in God's sight, washing away our sins in God's sight, and giving, imputing to us the righteousness of Christ. Calvin said verse 7 is justification. Verse 9, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said that's sanctification. The ongoing cleansing, becoming holy of a believer. Not just the cleansing, justified in God's sight, but also the purification, the cleansing process. I don't know if we can distinguish here really, but it's helpful to think actually of both of those processes, isn't it? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Not just our actions, but our nature. The blood of Jesus Christ washes our sinful nature clean and gives us a new nature that desires to serve Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ takes away our pollution, the habits of sin, habits of unholiness. Do you know what they are? That rut we fall into every now and again. Those favorite sins, those bosom sins, those habits that cause us and lead us in the wrong way. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christ's blood washes us clean. And you see, God never does a half job. God never does a half job. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're struggling with a sin you've committed in the past. I know often, even believers, we struggle with the mistakes we made. Sins of youth, remember not, David prayed. And it's plaguing you. Maybe it was sin against someone who is now long dead. Some family member who you sinned against and now you can't even confess your sin to that person together in person. Or maybe it's the mistake you made in your earlier life, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and you're still wrestling with it. You still feel guilty. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Not just forgive it, but also to take away the pollution of that sin, the stains that sin has created, and even the feeling of guilt that it has given us for sin long committed. Who does the cleansing, though? It's not us, really. God gives us grace to say no to sin. God gives believers grace to resist sin even. He keeps us from temptation and sin. He keeps us from wandering the wrong way. But ultimately, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit who does the cleansing. God is faithful and just to send His Son to die for sin so that sin can be freely forgiven. And God is faithful and just to send His Holy Spirit so that He can work this cleaning in our lives. Maybe you are crying out under the load of your sinfulness and you say, my sinful nature is always going in the wrong direction. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and cleanses us, applies the blood of Christ in our lives. Pray to Him, Holy Spirit, make me new. That's what David prays in Psalm 51, doesn't he? Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee. That's the prayer that the Holy Spirit works in us, but a prayer that we pray so that God will work this cleansing in our lives. The triune God is faithful and just to cleanse us from sin. Will God keep on cleansing when I keep on sinning? Maybe you're someone who you've confessed your sin, and even you felt God's forgiveness at times. You're overwhelmed by God's forgiveness. But then you find yourself slipping back into that same favorite sin again. You find yourself committing that same evil all over again. Just a week, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, you find yourself sinning. Will God keep forgiving and cleansing if I keep sinning? If forgiveness was a work that depended on us, if forgiveness depended on our abilities, then you would think sometime the forgiveness will run out. But if this forgiveness and cleansing depends on God's faithfulness, on God's mercy, on His justice through Jesus Christ, the grace He gives, there is no limit to that grace. And so He will continue to cleanse. He will continue to forgive, even if we keep sinning. And that gives us hope again, doesn't it? When we have sinned, when we have transgressed, we run to the Savior again and pray, falling on our knees, cleanse me again, wash me clean again. Take away this sin again. And yet, when we stop confessing, sin grows hard. And the cleansing process is stopped. Unconfessed sins are like deep stains in clothing that are hard to remove. And they stay there. And the longer they're there, the harder they become. And the harder it becomes even to wash them clean. And yet we have hope. So confession, forgiveness, and cleansing. Are you confessing your sin? God is faithful to forgive it and to cleanse it. But there's one more word that we want to look at this morning together. Fellowship. Fellowship. The word fellowship is not in verse 9 of our text, but it's in this entire chapter. John starts this chapter by speaking about fellowship. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon and handled, our hands have handled, the word of life. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God. Fellowship, being at one with God, united to Him, in relationship to Him. That's what John is speaking about here. He's saying, we have fellowship with God, and we want to share this with you. John is saying, I have touched, I've experienced it, I've seen it, I've handled it. I know I have experienced this true fellowship with God. This sense of forgiveness and cleansing freely for the blood of Christ. The sense of being restored, walking in the light, walking with God. John says, I have experienced it, and I want you to have it too. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John says, I want everyone who hears these words to experience this fellowship with God. Peace. Relationship, walking in the light, walking in the truth. But often this is such a high concept, isn't it? It's so far from us. As unbelievers, we are running in the other direction. We are walking in darkness. We're covering our sin, hiding from God, hiding from others. We're living a lie. And even believers, do you have fellowship with God 24/7? Are you walking in the light? Are you living the truth? We have to hang our heads in shame often, don't we? Because sin gets in the way. Sin are like the clouds that hide us from the view of the sun, the dark thunder clouds often. We have no fellowship with God because we have sinned. Believers even? Especially unbelievers, running in the other direction. John says, I want you to have this fellowship. I want you to be able to say this so that your joy will be full. And we say, that's so far from us. We say, I don't know what that means. But this fellowship is free and it's available. You say, but that's the truth that's too far from me. That's why John writes this. He wants your faith to be real, not temporary or shallow or historical or unbelief even, overriding all faith. Now see the relationship. He says, I want you all to have fellowship. And then he says, confess your sins. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We have no fellowship. But if we confess our sins, God forgives and cleanses and restores fellowship. You see the pattern. When we confess our sins, God forgives and cleanses and gives us this fellowship so that our joy may be full. Our joy in Christ, our joy with others, but especially with the triune God. And you might say, oh, that's so high, it's too far from me. But it's not too far from John, is it? He says, I want you to have this. So therefore, confess your sins. Believers, John wants your fellowship with God restored, not just when you have Holy Communion here. Every single Sunday, every single day, walk in the light as He is in the light, John says elsewhere. So, confess those sins. Because He is faithful and just to forgive sins and to restore that fellowship through Christ Jesus. Unbelievers, you don't know this fellowship. This peace with God. Seeing God not as the austere judge who wants to beat you, but the loving Father who will forgive you every time you come to the throne of grace. John wants you to have this fellowship, and I do too. Confess your sins, because He will forgive them. He has promised. He will cleanse you. He has given His the Son. He has given the Spirit. The gospel promise comes to us all. Fellowship with God. John says, I have touched it, I have tasted it, I have seen it. It is real. It is possible. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and of course, especially with God Himself through Jesus Christ, whose blood cleanses us from sin. This is fellowship. Fellowship. And it is only possible through the forgiveness and cleansing of Jesus Christ. So tonight, when we read the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Is it just head knowledge? Is it just head knowledge? Or do you really believe? Are you on your knees confessing because you believe in the forgiveness of sins? Are you busy searching your soul, pouring out your heart before the Lord? Are you confessing this afternoon? Are you confessing your sins? I believe that God forgives, and therefore I will confess because He is faithful and just, not only to forgive, but to cleanse, to give fellowship and peace with God. Let's pray.